Welcome to the Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators Podcast. Today's edition is the first half of a talk Pastor Jeff Jackson gave at the Calvary Chapel Central Bucks 2016 Missions Conference. In today's podcast, Pastor Jeff describes the call God has given to all of his people. He tells us what God's people are called to do, and he unpacks why we should obey the call.
Well, I'm glad that you're here tonight, and I think the Lord's going to move mightily this weekend. And as most of you know, if you come to this church and you've heard me before, my heart beats for the nations because I think that's what God's heart beats for. And so to be able to come back and to share at a missions conference is an incredible privilege and honor. And so let me pray. And as you'll see, I have a PowerPoint because I'm going to be giving out quite a bit of information, hopefully in a very easy to understand way. But if you're a note taker, you can take notes from this. And if you want, I can send you the outline later. But let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. And Lord, I thank you for every opportunity that you give me, Lord, to come back east to this Philadelphia area and reconnect, Lord, with my brothers and sisters here at Central Bucks. And I just thank you again, Lord, for John and young John and the leadership and this body, Lord, and the reality that they get at this church, that you are the missionary God, that they intentionally, Lord, participate in what you're doing both across the street and around the world. And my prayer, Lord, is that as we look at this thing that we sometimes refer to as the call, and Lord, I try to simplify it and show how it applies to each and every one of us, but especially for those that you may call to go, I pray that your Spirit would help us to not only grasp these things intellectually, but that, Lord, you would drive these truths into our hearts and have them make a difference in the way we live for you, regardless of whether you've called us to go or called us to send those that do go. So we lift up our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to do tonight, and sort of the main sessions tonight, tomorrow morning, and tomorrow night, is we've kind of broken it down into sort of three things. Tonight I'm going to be talking about the call. In the morning, Matt's going to be talking about the cost for those that God calls to go, and that may be relevant to us in our own country at some future point too, but there's a cost involved in being obedient to the call to go. And then tomorrow night, I'll be sharing with you on the effect of those that obey the call, those that count the cost, and what God does in and through them as a result of that. But what I want to do tonight is I want to look at this issue called the call. And before I start unpacking what I have in the PowerPoint is, it's interesting. Most missionaries I know, including me, I was young, 27 at the time, the Lord called my wife and I and our three kids to sell everything we had and move to the central Philippines. Most missionaries are called to the field because of the great need of people. You hear about people that are lost. You hear about people that are still in the darkness. You hear about people that have never heard a sort of an understandable presentation of the gospel. And there's always the factor that, you know, you've heard in a lot of missions messages, the reality that so many people are dying every day. Millions are going to hell every day, every minute, and stuff like that. And so a lot of missionaries sort of get motivated and hear the call as a result of, for lack of a better term, a man-centered message. And so it's kind of like the needs of man and the terrible plight that man is in drives a lot of people to take that initial step to go and live in another country and among another people. But what happens is when you get out there and you go thinking of the great need of the people and how lost they are and that, well, they're just eager to hear the gospel, and you get out there and it's not really that way. They're not waiting in line to get saved. They're not taking numbers and waiting for you to give them a great Bible study or preach the gospel to them. They're just as lost and just as much avoiding you as the people are here. And eventually what ends up happening is you come, every missionary comes to a crisis moment as to, well, why should I stay on the field? Why am I really here? And what the Lord does is he speaks to every missionary at some point, usually not long after they arrive on the field, and he has a little sort of one-on-one with you. And basically, he explains to you that you're really not there primarily for the good of the people. You become a missionary and you go to the field because your God is worthy to be known. your motivation for going to the field and staying on the field when it gets tough is the reality that your God is worthy to be known, he's worthy to be proclaimed for who he is, and he's worthy to be obeyed. And if he's told you to go and represent him to these people in this country with all of the challenges that go along with that, what keeps you on the field is not the ongoing, never-ending, never-quenched need of the people. It's the worthiness of your God for them to know his glory, his worth, his value. And so as we look at this idea of the call tonight, and I don't know how many missions conferences that you've been to, there's different ways to sort of describe or define what the call is. And I think all of them are valid. What I want to do tonight is I want to work from a familiar text. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalm 96 and sort of camp out there. And we're going to take a look at the call in one of the most concise, succinct ways that I think the call is expressed within your Bible. So Psalm 96. Now, we'll get to that in just a minute, but as you can see on this slide, here's three things I want to accomplish tonight during our time together. Number one, I want to describe for you what the call is. So we're going to look at Psalm 96 here in a minute. What the call is that he has given, now notice, to all of his people. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you had surrendered your life to the true and the living God and you're in relationship with him because of his son Jesus Christ, if you're in an interactive personal relationship with the creator and redeemer of your life, then you have a call. You have a call that he's given to you and to every other believer. Secondly, we'll look at why all of his people need to obey this call, why this call matters in a sense. And then third, what obedience to the call looks like. Everybody has a responsibility to be obedient to the call, but the majority of people, their obedience is going to look one way, and then a smaller portion of God's people, their obedience to the call is going to look another way. And that's specifically those that are called to go. And then what I'll do in sort of wrapping it up tonight is I'll walk through the process of how do you know if you're called to go? If God has called you to leave everything familiar and comfortable and relocate to another place and begin living among people who are so radically different than you that you would never do this without God calling you to do it. Okay? So that's what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at those things. So what is it that God has called his people to do? Now, again, there's many ways I can unpack this, but I love Psalm 96. Psalm 96 was written by probably Asaph, or one of the worship leaders that had been under the influence of King David. David, the great psalm writer, the great songwriter. And David, who penned Psalm 86, David understood that God, the God of Israel, was the creator of all ethnicities, all people groups. In Psalm 86, 9, he says that you have created all people, all ethnicities, and that they will come and worship you. Well, Asaph, or whoever it is that specifically wrote this psalm, understood that. And so this psalm is, to me, the greatest, most succinct expression of God's heart, and in a sense, the call for his people. Let me just read the first three verses. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Verse 3, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people. So what I want to do is just stop there, and I want to zero in on what the call is upon God's people and emphasize especially verse 3. But as you can see on the slide, what is it that God has called his people to do? Now, if you look at the terminology here, notice the psalmist says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. It's an exhortation. It may even be viewed as a command. God's people are to sing to the Lord a new song. He invites the whole earth to sing to the Lord. And then it says, sing to the Lord and bless his name. Sing to the Lord, speak highly of his name to him. And then he says, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. So one of the things that God commissions his people to do here, those that know him, is to sing his praises and to sing and bless him, but to also as they go about their day-to-day lives to do what? Proclaim the good news of his salvation. God's people are called by God to proclaim the good news of his salvation as a day-to-day part of their lives. And then finally, the one that's sort of the hinge for the rest of the message is this. He amps it up from just those that are God's people right then and there to all of those that are God's people. And he says, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people. Now, for those of you that have been part of a missions conference or you've heard me share before, an important point is that when you see the word nations in your Bible, you want to keep in mind that's not countries. It's not declare his name in Mexico, in the United States, in Germany, in Vietnam, although his name should be proclaimed in all those places. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament, the Greek word in the New Testament is ethnicities. In other words, declare his glory among all of the ethnic groups that the Bible clearly tells us he has created. God is the creator of every ethnicity, every language, and the cultures produced within every ethnicity and every language. And we'll talk about why that's important tomorrow night. But for tonight, what I want you to see is that the call of all of God's people is not only to proclaim the good news of his salvation in our day-to-day lives, but to see that his glory is declared among the nations, among all ethnic groups. So that's clearly what the psalmist is saying here. Now the question is, why? Why is it that we should obey the call? And what I want to do is point out just a couple things. And this is, again, a different way of looking at it. In the same way of how do you summarize the gospel, there's a number of different ways to summarize the essence of the gospel. Well, there's a number of ways to summarize the call to missions, the call to see God glorified among the nations. And so the first reason why, from a simple way of viewing it, that we need to declare his glory among the nations is that Jesus tells us, speaking to the woman at the well, who we're going to talk about on Sunday morning at one of the services, is he says that God is spirit to this Samaritan woman, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then Jesus makes this interesting statement that the Father is seeking worshipers. The Father is seeking worshipers. So the vision for missions, the call that God has given his people, is to give the Father what the Father seeks. And according to Jesus, what does our God seek? Worshippers. He is seeking worshipers, and he's given us the privilege to give him what he's seeking, to have a role in satisfying his desire to receive worship and praise from all of the ethnicities, all of the languages and cultures that he's created. It's a beautiful thought. Okay, so what's interesting about this is that not only do we need to obey the call because our God is seeking worshipers, and don't we want to give our God what he desires? Yes. But also, these worshipers are from the ethnically diverse people that he himself created. And you see the scripture references there for those. Genesis 11, as I referred to, Psalm 86, and Paul says it so concisely in Athens, in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, where he's speaking to the powerful thought influencers of the day there in Athens at the Areopagus, and they give him the opportunity to speak because he's been bringing strange things to their ears, talking about this unheard of expression of God becoming man and then dying and the resurrection of the dead. And so they bring Paul before their august council, and they give him the opportunity to tell them about this different God that they've never heard about before. And Paul launches into this incredible message. And one of the points he makes to the Areopagus in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, is that God, this living God, is the creator of all things. And mankind was made from one blood. He's making the point that all humanity comes from one common source, Adam and Eve. But that all of the ethnicity that exists, all of the languages, when these ethnic groups come into existence in history, where they live at the time they come onto the radar screen by God's design. All of that is predetermined by God, you see. And so we know from what the scripture says that God not only seeks worshipers, but he is seeking worshipers from the ethnic diversity that he himself has created, because it reflects his glory in a very unique way, which we'll talk about tomorrow night. Okay? Why that's important. There's another way of looking at what the call is for all of his people to declare his glory among the ethnic groups. Not only does he seek worshipers, not only are those worshipers from an ethnically diverse group of people that he himself created, but Psalm 2, verse 8, lets us into this private conversation between the Father and the Son. And in Psalm 2, verse 8, the Father says to the Son, "Ask of me, and I will give you the ethnic groups as your inheritance." So the Father tells the Son, "Ask me, and I'm going to give you this gift of ethnic diversity, linguistic diversity. I'm going to give you, Son, worshipers from every tribe, people, nation, and tongue as a gift." So when we declare his glory among the ethnic groups, when we take seriously his call, all of us, and we participate in that becoming a reality, the declaring his glory among the nations, what ends up happening is, as strange as it sounds, we help the Son. Well, the Father lets us help give his Son the gift of the nations. Now, the Son's going to pay for that gift with his life, but God permits us to be, in a sense, the ones that gather the gift, package the gift, and give it to the Son. So there's this bigger thing going on when we understand what the call is. And then finally, and there's no time to unpack this, but God is so serious about the call to declare his glory among the nations, as you look at the scripture from the bigger picture, sort of the meta picture, that he created two entities to represent him to all of those ethnicities. The first entity he created was a specific group of people called Israel. And he put them in a specific geographic location and interacted with them in a unique, special way. And as if they would have obeyed him and heard his heart for all people and saw in their law the invitation for the stranger and foreigner to come in among them and become worshipers of their God, things would have looked different. But he knew what they were going to do. But you see, God chose Israel, created this group of people that we know as Israel, to be his representatives to all nations. And that's an important truth to understand. And then later on, when the missionary God becomes a missionary, keep thinking God's glory among the nations. When Jesus steps into our world, the Son of God becomes a man and comes in the ethnicity of the Jewish people. He creates another entity, a new entity to represent him, and that new entity is called what?
The church.
The church. So declaring his glory among the nations matters to him because he's seeking worshipers. He's seeking them from an ethnically diverse group of people. They're a gift from the Father to the Son, and we get to participate in gathering it and packaging it. And not only that, but he's clearly shown he's serious about it because he's created two vehicles, two representative groups of people to accomplish the task of declaring his glory among the nations and working towards the fulfillment of his end game plan, which, again, we'll kind of get into tomorrow night. So we should obey the call of God for these reasons. Now, here's a couple more that you can write down real quick. When the church is born, as we know it in Acts chapter 2, right, on the day of Pentecost, it was multi-ethnic, multilinguistic. If you look at the group of people who were gathered in Jerusalem celebrating Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles, and they began to speak in tongues with languages that they'd never learned, those that were gathered there for the Feast of Pentecost were not just Jews that had been scattered and had grown up and were living in other countries and had come to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. If you look at the list, it says proselytes. There were non-Jews gathered. So the day the church is born, The church is multi-ethnic, multilinguistic. The praises of God, they spoke of the mighty works of God. That praise of God was being done in different languages by people from different ethnicities, not just Jews. So declaring his glory among the nations, in a sense, when the church is born that day, that's what the church is doing in its birth, declaring his glory among a representation of some of the ethnicities and languages that were there. And finally, Paul took this exhortation seriously. And you can look at this a little later, but just to unpack it here quickly, Paul says, hey, as he's finishing up his letter to the church at Rome, a place he'd wanted to go for a long time, and he kept being hindered because he's been busy preaching the gospel. He says, listen, I preached from Jerusalem to Illyricum. This area of the world is fully covered. Was everybody saved? No. But Paul says, this has been fully covered. Why? Because there were believers there. Churches have been started there. And now those churches have the responsibility to proclaim God's glory to their neighbors and to their neighborhoods, like he's called you to do here in this area of Philly. He then says, hey, it's my aim to preach Christ where he hasn't yet been named. So you hear Paul's heart for the frontier, for the pioneer, to reach unreached, unengaged people groups. He says, look, I'm done here. Churches are here. They got the responsibility to reach here. God's heart is to see his glory declared among all ethnicities. There are ethnic groups in a lot of places that have never heard the name of our God, and certainly the name of Jesus. And so my aim is to preach where Christ has never been named. And it's interesting, in verse 23, he says, so I no longer have a place in these parts. He sounds kind of like he's from a Western movie. Yeah, I no longer have a place in these here parts. So God's calling me to go to them their parts over there. And so he says, look, I want to go to Spain. That's been my plan. I've wanted to go to Spain for years, and I've been sidetracked from being able to do that. So again, why did Paul not say, hey, I need to stay in these parts? Because the gospel has been preached here. There are healthy churches here from Jerusalem to Illyricum. Oh, no. God's called to declare his glory among the nations. Local churches have the responsibility to keep his name in front of those in their neighborhoods, but there's also this responsibility that those that are called take his name to the faraway places. Everybody's called to declare his name. The call is for every believer to declare his glory and to have a role in that being done, both across the street and around the world. And that's an important truth to understand. And then what's interesting about this, and we'll talk about this more in a minute, is that Paul, in Romans 15, verse 24, he invited the church at Rome to send him on his way to Spain. That's an important truth to understand. In fact, he says to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 16:6, and in 2 Corinthians 1:16, Paul invites churches to send him on his way. Well, what does that mean? He expects that local churches should not just be consumed with reaching their own neighborhoods and across the street, but that every church should be given the opportunity and the challenge to participate in sending those that God calls to go to the faraway places, to people that don't have access to the gospel, and to believers at the same level you do here in your neighborhood. You see, so he invited churches to help him on his way. The goal there was to declare God's glory among the nations. That's the call of every believer, on every believer, to declare his glory among the nations. Now, what I want to do now is just kind of transition over and unpack a little bit more this idea of the call is on every believer. But what does obedience to the call look like a little deeper for every believer? Well, the first thing is, as I talked about earlier from Psalm 96, verse 2, is the idea that every believer is exhorted by Psalm 96, 2, and many other parts of the scripture to do what? Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. That would be what we call evangelism. That would be living out your faith with those that you work with day to day, those from your neighborhood. Do we, God's called us to do it, do we proclaim the good news of our salvation? Have we thought about how can I express to those that God has brought into my sphere of influence, that are part of my day-to-day life, how can I proclaim the good news of the salvation that he's given me to them? You see, every believer has that responsibility, and that's part of declaring his glory. And you know what's interesting about it, and we may get into this more later too, is the reality that he's brought the nations into our neighborhoods. The world is among us. Your co-workers could be Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. They could be from any number of places around the world. And none of that is by accident. God's permitted them to live in your neighborhood, to move in next door to you, to work at the Dunkin' Donuts. I was in Dunkin' Donuts this morning on my way to have a meeting, and there were Indians running the Dunkin' Donuts. That's no accident. That's no coincidence. The people that I get my gas from, they're in Escondido. The gas station, the people are from Bangladesh. They're Bengali Muslims. The 7-Eleven where I get my coffee on my way to the office is owned by a Sikh man. He's been here 30 years, has his Sikh sort of turban. His kids work for him. I'm in there buying coffee, building a relationship with him, trying to build a relationship with the guys at the gas station. The little restaurant, mom and pop breakfast and lunch restaurant around the corner from my house, not far from that 7-Eleven, is owned by an Iranian Muslim man. It's named after his daughter. You see, none of this is by accident. It's opportunities that God has given us to declare his glory among the ethnic groups that he's brought right into our neighborhoods. And if you were here last night, I love this concept that Ed has developed, the idea of expose, engage, entangle. God brings these people, the world, into our neighborhoods to expose us to people that are radically different from us. So God is the orchestrator of you being exposed to the diversity of people that he's created and permitted to come into our neighborhoods. He's the one that exposes us to him, but we, if we take the call seriously, what should we do? What should we do? Engage them. Begin talking to them. Build a relationship with them. Hearing my Iranian friend of how he got to America, what was going on in his country at the time that, in a sense, forced him to leave. God's exposed me to them. I'm going to engage them. And then you know what happens. When you start to engage and you hear their heart and you hear their story, you start to get entangled with their lives. You start to care about them. And you care about the challenges they have and how their neighborhood is unsafe and the help that they might need, especially if they're new arrivals or they're refugees. God exposes you to them. We engage them to obey the call. But be ready, because he might want you to become entangled in their lives, which is going to cost you time, cost you resources, cost you comfort. You see, all of that is God's plan and invitation for us to declare his glory among the nations, the call. So, also, every follower of Jesus is not just called to proclaim the good news day to day, but to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peter grabs Exodus 19, where Moses, God is speaking through Moses to Israel, and talks about Israel being a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And Peter grabs that language and says, church, you are a chosen people. You are a unique group of people. You're God's own special people. And then he gives you the reason why you're all that. To proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The call is to proclaim the praises of him, not just to talk about the good news of his salvation, but to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Proclaim his praises to who? Each other? No, you all in the light. I don't need to proclaim his praises to you, as blessing as that, as much of a blessing as that is. Who are we called to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light? Who are we to proclaim his praises to? Those still in the dark, that he has called us to be salt and light and interact with. So the call to declare his glory among the nations is for every follower of Jesus. And because of the way things have changed in God's orchestration, many of those ethnicities are now in our neighborhoods, and we can all participate. So again, the idea of the call is across the street and around the world. But around the world has to have, in many ways, a higher priority. Because it's easy to get focused on across the street.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. To learn more about becoming a missionary with Shepherd Staff, go to ssmfi.org/join. Connect with us on Facebook or Twitter by searching @ShepStaff on either platform. You can watch this entire message and access the teaching notes at ssmfi.org/blog/the-call. That's ssmfi.org/blog/the-call.